Good evening and welcome to Digging Deeper on this Saturday evening. Family and friends, you are to be commended for allowing the great physician to give you this spiritual checkup here over these last 7 weeks. Now, tonight we're going to come to the seventh of our checks in this spiritual checkup, but I just want you tonight to picture yourself for a brief moment. You are in the great physician's office. Picture Dr. Jesus as he looks at your test and results, and then he graces you with his tender smile. As you return the smile, you ask Dr. Jesus, you say, "Well, doctor, am I going to make it?" Now, people, that's a good question, isn't it? And here's the answer for every believer. The great physician is going to look at you and he's going to say to you, "Yes, you're going to make it. But you will not survive on your own. The only way I can guarantee your spiritual health is to have you move in with me. That way I can give you the constant attention that you need." What a great blessing to live with the great physician. I bet you're wondering, will it work out? The final test of our spiritual checkup is the test of compatibility. As you and Jesus live together, will it be a good match? The only way for you to be compatible is for you to place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet Amos asked the question, "Can two walk together except they agree? How do you know if you know God? Do you abide in Christ?" What does that mean? When you abide in Christ, you live in the very nature of God and you try to live life the way God lives. You live life like it should be lived, friend. Is that how you're living life today? Are you living life like it should be lived? You try to do all things right. Does that describe you? Is that how you're living? Do you try to do all things right just as God always does? You know, many people like to claim they know God, but there's a problem. They do not abide in Jesus Christ. And the person who does not abide in Jesus Christ does not know God. Now, the aim of our message tonight is going to be very simply this: to make absolutely sure you are abiding in Jesus Christ. Are you ready for the test? There at home, take your Bible and you listen along as I read. We're still in 1 John 2. I'm going to read the last two verses. 1 John 2:28, the word of our Lord says unto us, "And now, little children," oh, don't you love the term of endearment, the term of affection that Jesus has for us, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." Family and friend, the great question that every person must ask themselves is this: do I abide in Christ? Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Oh, gracious Father, we come to you on this Saturday evening, Father, as we come to this test of compatibility. Oh, Lord, as we go through this spiritual checkup tonight, would you show us every area of our life where we are compatible? But, Lord, more than giving us a pat on the back tonight, would you also, Father, examine our heart? Would you show us all the areas of our lives where we are incompatible? compatible, that we might confess our sins, that we might confess our transgressions, that we might set our heart aright in Christ. And Lord, may you have the preeminence in our life. May you receive the glory. May we live so as to glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The great question that every single person must ask is this: do I abide in Christ? Now, the word abide, what does it mean? It means to continue with Christ. It means to dwell with Christ. It means to stay with Christ. It means to sojourn with Christ. It means to rest with Christ. It is to be set and to be fixed, remaining with Jesus Christ ever and always. There should be no gaps then, friends, in our walk. It means to stay with Jesus. It means to continue on in fellowship with Christ. It means to remain in Him. It means to be settled in Him. Are you settled in Jesus tonight? We're to dwell in Christ. You say, how, Pastor, how are we to dwell in Christ? We dwell in Christ by living the kind of life that He showed us how to live. You see, the Gospels tell us that Jesus lived, and the Gospels tell us how Jesus lived, and we're to follow His example. Oh, friend, don't miss this. Jesus is our example, and we are to live according to the example that God the Father gave us in His Son, Jesus Christ. His example is a most encouraging example because it means something very important. It means that God will never ask you or I to do something that He Himself was not willing to do. I think about that for a moment. How many of you know people who have asked you to do something, anything, that they themselves are not willing to do? But God never asks us to do that. He always models that which we are to do, and therefore we can have complete confidence that what we are doing is the right thing because God always does right. We must follow our Savior's example by being right with God and right with man, just as Jesus Christ was and is. Family and friends, let me ask you a question tonight. Have you ever slowed your roll long enough to consider the question, when a person abides in Christ, just what kind of life does he live? What kind of things does he do? How does he behave toward God and man? Well, let's answer those questions tonight. First, a person confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Second, abiding in Christ means that a person walks with and fellowships with Christ. Means that person lives and that person moves and that person has his being in Jesus Christ. He has a consciousness of the Lord's presence ever and always as he goes through his days. And from the Lord's presence he learns from God. Friend, just think of this. If you never have a consciousness of God's presence within your life, how are you ever going to learn anything from God? A person who has a conscious presence of God, a person who is learning about God, when the trials and the storms of life come, they draw their strength from the Father. They draw the authority to tell the devil, get lost. Get thee behind me, Satan. They draw the authority because they're standing on the Word of God and they can live the victorious life that Jesus Christ promised when He said, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Third, abiding in Christ means that a person walks in open confession before God, walking hour by hour, opening his life up to God. Think about the way average man walks today. He walks trying to hide just about everything, not only from man, but from God. But God sees all. Oh, friend, be an open book with God. Just walk openly with God. God knows who you are, warts and all. This person who walks openly before God, he is constantly confessing that he is short of God's glory, constantly confessing any known sin that may slip into their life. They do not walk in sin, and they do not allow any sin to go unconfessed. That's so important. Keep short account. We get tempted. Man, we fail from time to time. We fall short of God's glory more often than not. But when we confess our sin, we have this wonderful promise of God that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Fourth, it means that a person continues in the word of God and knows the truth. How many of you know what Jesus said? If ye continue in my word, and that is the key. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Fifth, it means that a person lets the word of God abide in their life. Are you allowing the Word of God to abide in you? Have you done what the psalmist did who said, I've hidden the Word of God in my heart that I might not sin against him? Six, it means a person experiences the indwelling presence and witness of the Holy Spirit in their life. John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given of us his Spirit. Seventh, abiding in Christ means that a person has the power to live life like they should. Jesus said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Eight, that means that a person dwells in love and dwells in unity with all other believers. Jesus said, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me. And hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Number nine, it means abiding in Christ means that a person bears fruit and a person lives a very fruitful life. A very important part of abiding in Christ means that you're going to produce. A century and a half ago, there died a humble minister in a small village in England. This minister had never attended college and he had no degrees. He was merely a faithful village minister. In his congregation was a young cobbler who he gave special attention to, teaching him the Word of God. This young man was later to be the renowned as William Carey, one of the greatest missionaries in modern times. This same ministry had a son, a boy whom he taught faithfully and constantly encouraged. The boy's character and powers were greatly affected by his father's life. That son was Robert Hall, the mightiest public orator of his day, whose sermons influenced the decisions of statesmen, and whose character was as saintly as his preaching was phenomenal. It seemed that the village pastor had accomplished very little in his life. There were no spectacular revivals. But his faithful witness and godly life had much to do with giving India William Carey and England Robert Hall. You don't have to be wealthy, you don't have to be famous or educated to bear fruit in your lives. God expects every believer to live for Him wherever He has planted you in life, regardless of the circumstances are keeping you. Regardless of the circumstances, be keeping on by abiding in Jesus Christ, who knows who you will reach for Christ. Friend, are you abiding in Christ? That Christ could use you to reach someone else and save them from the fire of eternal hell. The tenth way we abide in Christ is by loving others and walking in love toward others. Is that how you live your life? Do you walk in love toward others? Do you have a real love for other people? Or is life all about you, your wants, your needs, your desires, but you never have a thought for others? How can you claim to love God if you can't love another? 11th, it means that a person continues in the church. They don't leave the church. They don't go out from the church. They stay in the church. They become a pillar. One of the poorest testimonies of the modern church is that far too many people become caterpillars, crawling in and out, crawling from one church to another. Oh, friend, this world don't need caterpillars. It needs pillars in the house of God today. Are you a pillar in your church? You recall what John had written earlier? 1 John 2:19. This is what John wrote. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. 12, to abide in Christ means that a person does not walk in continuous habitual sin. The Bible, friend, is very clear. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Another way of abiding in Christ means that a person possesses confidence and unashamedness in life that prepares them for eternity. We can avoid social embarrassment simply by remaining in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now, you see, abiding in Christ means that a person actually surrenders themselves to obey God's commandments. Have you surrendered yourself to obedience? Do you obey what God says in His holy word. Oh, friend, you know the commandment. You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like unto it. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. It means that a person loves their neighbor. They love their brother. It means that a person does the will of God. What is the will of God? It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. And it means to love your brother as yourself. And then finally, it means that a person experiences and receives the continuous presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. Because they're living in a manner that does not grieve and does not quench the work of the Holy Spirit of God in their life. Now you may be wondering, what is the purpose for abiding in Christ? It's so that you may have confidence and not be ashamed at Jesus Christ's return. Verse 28 tells us there will be some who be ashamed. I want you to note something. Jesus Christ is coming again, and Scripture emphatically declares this. He is coming to consummate human history. He's coming to judge the earth. He's going to judge every man, every woman who has ever lived, according to Matthew 16:27. Second, the task of a believer is to be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. Are you prepared for the return of Jesus Christ? Oh, how can we prepare ourselves? We prepare ourselves by doing what God's commanded us to do and be found abiding in Jesus Christ. The word confidence here means boldness. It means assurance. And it has the idea of an unshakable boldness and assurance. If we abide in Christ now, today, and every day hereafter, we can have confidence, we can have boldness and assurance that when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, we will be ready. But I want you to note, verse 28 also speaks about shame. And the word shame means to a sense guilt and disgrace and feel embarrassment. That's what it means. I want you to know the fact that's often ignored by believers, a fact that is seldom if ever thought about. There's going to be some shame. There's going to be some disgrace and embarrassment when Jesus Christ returns, because some believers are shrinking back from Christ. The picture of nothing but joy and rejoicing when Christ returns, friends, isn't a true picture. There's going to be a judgment of every man's work, no matter of what sort they are, and there is going to be the judgment of sinners no matter who they are. The Christians will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, and 1,007 years later, unbelievers will be judged at the great white throne judgment. There's going to be great joy for believers who have been abiding in Christ, but there's going to be guilt, there's going to be disgrace, there's going to be embarrassment and a shrinking back for those who have been walking unfaithfully. The Bible says, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead. Brings us to our second point tonight, the proof of abiding in Christ. How is it seen? The proof that one is abiding in Christ is seen and that they are living a righteous life. Family and friends, if a person abides in Jesus Christ, he naturally will live a righteous life. This is the supreme proof that a person knows God and is in fellowship with God. You can always tell if a person knows God by their fruit and the treasure of their life. Is that person living a righteous life? Is he trying to live life just like Jesus Christ did? Jesus said, Matthew 7:16-18, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. There is one reason why a person who knows Jesus Christ lives a righteous life. Now, I want you to note how significant that reason is. It's because that person knows that Jesus Christ is the righteous Son of the living God. That encourages that person, that believer, to walk day by day, to trust and cast himself upon his Lord and his righteousness. However, knowing that, some believers continue to walk in darkness and sin, and some continually sin. As a result, the fruit of their lives make us wonder if they're saved and know God at all. Thus, the main question to you and I is to ask ourselves and to ask Holy God to examine us and give us the answer. Are we doing righteous? Oh, friend, Jesus Christ bore your sins in his body on the cross. And if we really want to follow Christ, we're going to have to suffer some. It is our flesh that commits sin, so Christ could not offer his body, so he offered his soul. He put his body on the tree. Christ had to offer us his righteous soul for our sins. In his body was our sin, so he did not offer his body. Don't misunderstand me. He had to offer his body, and his body shed blood, but that was for our sin debt to be paid. But his soul is what was righteous while he was on that cross and at all other times. That's why he said in Gethsemane, "My soul is sorrowful unto death." Therefore, a person who lives righteously has the nature of God in them. We're not talking about perfection. That's why we must confess our sins. But the Bible is clear. A person who does not live a righteous life does not know God. Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Oh, friend, are you among the twice born, or do you live among the once born and the twice dead? A person must be born again. And the only way you or I can live a righteous life is through the help of our Heavenly Father. Be born again. Do you know God in a personal way? Are you abiding in him? Are you compatible with Christ? And Father, may you search our hearts and souls tonight. May you speak to that one who is lost. May you help the Christian live life the way it should be lived. Oh Lord, as you speak to the hearts of those who have listened tonight, may each and every one of us ask the question, what is the Holy Spirit, the great physician, saying to our heart right now? Is he convicting you? Or is he confirming you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.